Well, good morning, everyone. It's good to be here with all of you to remember the Lord this morning. Before we open up the Word and look into His Word about the subject of temptation, I'd like to just open up a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You that we can come into Your presence. We always gather in the name of Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who loves us and came to be our Savior. He died in our place, took the punishment that we deserve on Himself, Lord, and He died for our sins on the cross. And He was buried and He rose again, and we gather in His name. And Father, we're going to open up Your Word now and see what You have to say about the subject of temptation. And we just pray that You would open up our ears, help us to be attentive to what You're teaching us this morning. And Father, we pray that You would help us to be doers of the Word. Give us strength in the days ahead through Your Word that we look at this morning. And it's in Jesus' name we pray, for His glory. Amen. Before we begin, I just want to start with a little illustration. A little scenario here. Your mama tells you, don't eat any cookies in the cookie jar. Don't even look at the cookie jar. You know, those cookies are for when our company comes to our house. Mama leaves the room. I know what Mama said. She said, don't even eat any of those cookies from the cookie jar. She said, don't even look at the cookie jar. But does my mama know how much I love cookies? Does my mama know how much I love chocolate chip cookies? I mean, the smell in the room is just torturing me. She's in the other room. Maybe I can just take a glance at the cookies. That's not going to hurt anything, is it? I'm just going to take a look. My eyes wander across the room. They suddenly stop. I see the cookies. I start to salivate. I check in back of me. No mama. I head to the cookie jar. I reach into the cookie jar, quickly grabbing two cookies. I shove them into my mouth as fast as I can, chewing. I take a second look back. No mama. I go for it. Two more chocolate chippy cookies, consumed in under 5 seconds. I take my third look back. Oops, it's mama. The subject, like I said, is temptation. And it's how to resist temptation. And I think we all know what temptation is, right? And we've all experienced various forms of temptation. You know, temptation is when we are confronted, when we're confronted with something that our sinful flesh wants to do, but that we know is wrong, right? When this happens, we are in temptation. Now, everyone here has their own type of cookie that causes them temptation, right? We're all different. We're not all the same, and it doesn't matter what type of sin we're battling. As believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we all have the same spiritual weapons that we need to arm ourselves with. And today, what I'd like to do is look at some of the ways of resisting temptation that we're going to talk about. And this is not by any means all of the ways. This is just, we're just going to touch on this subject. But some of the ways, number one, seeing ourselves the way God sees us. Number two, arming ourselves with the Word of God, which is really everything that we need to do. And number three, we're also going to talk about learning how to run. Four is quit blaming others for our sin. And number five, don't stay down for the count, get back up. I think we need to establish this from the beginning. When we're talking about temptation, we need to always remember that unlike the cookie illustration with Mama leaving the room, we have an omnipresent, that means all present, Lord God himself who never leaves us or forsakes us, right? We need to remember that when we are giving in to temptation, we are inviting, in a way, the Lord Jesus Christ to watch and kind of participate in what we are doing. Are we not in Christ as believers? That's our position. And that brings us to my first point of the way to resist temptation. We need to see ourselves how God sees us. As believers, God sees us how? In his Son. We are said to be in Christ. We are accepted in what? In the Beloved. We are in Christ. This is our position, and it can never change, can it? It's a position of honor that we should never take for granted. If you were the child of the President of the United States, you would probably never forget it, would you? Everything about your life would remind you that you are the child of the President of the United States. Your life would be different every day. Well, we have a much higher position than a child of the President. We are in Christ. And who is Christ? He is the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. You know, we are in a royal family. We're identified with royalty that can compare to none other. You know, we represent the Lord Jesus Christ in a world that's on their way to eternal judgment, right? They're on their way to, many that are around us are on their way to eternal judgment in the lake of fire. Just think of that. And we are the ones, we who believe in Jesus Christ, are the ones who represent the Lord Jesus Christ to sinners who need a Savior. You know, we can tell them that Jesus Christ died for their sin, was buried, rose again, and offers them salvation and forgiveness for their sins through faith in him and what he did for them. The Holy Spirit wants to use us to communicate the truth of this, of his word to a world through our lives and our words. And this is why the Holy Spirit is grieved when we fall into temptation and choose to sin. Why is he sad? Why is he sad when we do this? Because instead of being able to minister through us so that we can be kind of like the hands and feet for the Lord Jesus Christ in this world, instead of ministering through us to the lost world, when we sin, when we choose to sin, the Holy Spirit must minister not through us but to us, to show us our sin so that we can once again be restored to fellowship and he can use us again. So let's remember, as believers, we have to remember who we are. We are in Christ, and why would we want to act any other way? And that can help us in temptation, knowing who we are in Jesus Christ. When speaking of the sin of sexual immorality, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 6, he says, in verse 17, he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. And then he says, flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God? And you are not your own, for you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We are in Christ as believers. We were bought at a price. And so let's remember this during temptation. And before we move on to the next point, don't ever forget who you are in Christ. And remember, make that your identity. Oftentimes, we're tempted to think of ourselves in terms of the sinful flesh. Like, this is who I am. No, who we are is who we are in Christ. If you start thinking of yourselves in terms of the flesh, what are you going to do? You're going to have a self-fulfilling prophecy. If you say that's who you are, no, who we are, I love the words that Paul used. I know that in me, and he distinguished, he says, that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. But then he knew who he was in Jesus Christ. Okay, our second point for resisting temptation is arming ourselves with the Word of God. And we don't just need to read it, we need to what? Memorize it. We need to read it over and over if necessary so that when the time of temptation comes, we can use the Word of God as a weapon. Psalm 119:11 reads like this. It says, "Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against thee." We need to hide the Word of God in our hearts so that when time of temptation comes, we have a weapon to fight against temptation. "So thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you." So the Word of God hidden in our hearts helps us in time of temptation because it helps us to not sin against God. So if we want to resist temptation, what do we need to do more of? We need to memorize the Word. We need to be in the Word. Memorize Scripture. Have the Word of God as our defense. You know, what did the Lord Jesus Christ do during his time of temptation with Satan? In Matthew chapter 4, do you remember that section? He used the very Word of God. To combat the first temptation, do you remember what he did? When Satan told Jesus to turn the stones into bread, how did Jesus respond? Do you remember? And remember, this was after 40 days and 40 nights of fasting, and he was very physically hungry. What did Jesus say? He said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Well, then Satan must have thought to himself, "Oh, so you're going to use the Word of God." So he said to Jesus, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways, lest you and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone." You know, the devil can use the Word of God too. And then how did Jesus respond to this? You know, Jesus rightly divided the word of truth. Jesus said in verse 7 of chapter 4, it says, "It is written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." Then the devil tried again to tempt Jesus. And he tempted Jesus this time. Remember, he showed him all the glorious kingdoms. He tempted Jesus to turn away from his road to the cross. Right? And to go for the glory first. And let me stop here. Isn't this what most of our temptation is to? We're tempted to live like this world is our home when actually we are foreigners here. Where is our citizenship? It's in heaven. And if we turn away from the road of the cross to try to make it more comfortable for ourselves down here, we're making ourselves comfortable in whose kingdom? In Satan's kingdom. You know, we need to have our eyes fixed on who? On the Lord Jesus Christ. And who is he? He says in Scripture, he's the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured what? The cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. You know, now is not the time to sit down spiritually, right? Now's not the time to sleep spiritually. Now's the time to remain alert. In 1 Peter, it says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world." You know, we're not alone. All our brothers and sisters throughout the world are going through the same temptations that we are. Don't ever think you are isolated in your temptation. No temptation, it says in Scripture, has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. That's a promise that we can count on. It says, but with the temptation will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Do we believe that? That he'll give us a way of escape? He does, if we just look for it. So back to Jesus' temptation, that third temptation of leaving the road to the cross and instead going for the glory. Satan said to Jesus, all these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. And how did Jesus respond? He said, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. You know, Jesus Christ used what? The word of God as his weapon against temptation. Three times he said, it is written. He said, it is written. It is written, each temptation. You know, if God himself, who came in the flesh, in other words, if the Lord Jesus Christ used the word of God as his defense against the enemy, do you think that we should do any less? Really? Should we do any less? We have a threefold enemy, don't we? What are our enemies? Well, it's the devil, the world, and our own sinful flesh, right? Now, don't forget that Satan is not omnipresent. He's not present everywhere in this world like God. But there are many fallen angels, right, that help him with his work, as well as the sinful world, the world of unbelievers that are slaves to sin, as well as our sinful flesh that only wants to please the flesh, right? The flesh can't please God. It's impossible. We have to remember that we are in a spiritual battle as believers. 2 Corinthians 10 says this, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. You know, we need to arm ourselves with the whole word of God that we can do just that, to bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. You see, the Lord wants our every thought to honor him. Bring every thought into the captivity to the obedience of Christ. And that is what redeeming the time is all about. That's how we resist temptation, bring our thoughts into obedience to him. You know, temptation always begins where? People don't just go out and sin. It always starts up here in our mind. That's where we have to win the battle. So we need to arm ourselves for spiritual warfare. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6. I'd like to read this section. This is always a section that I like to read when thinking of spiritual warfare. Ephesians chapter 6, starting at verse 10. Ephesians 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. We need to be in prayer for one another, don't we? We're in a spiritual warfare each day. And if you don't have temptation, that means that that's kind of scary, because maybe you're being overcome with it and you don't even know. But we do have temptations. And what is our sword? What's the sword of the Spirit? What? The Word. The Word of God is our biggest weapon. The Word. If Jesus used it, we need to use it also. The Word of God. So we need the whole armor of God, which includes His Word, which is the sword of the Spirit. And we should not forget to arm ourselves daily with the Word of God and memorize the Word. Have it in our hearts, deep in our thoughts. You know, whatever we're feeding ourselves, right? Our souls. And if we're not feeding ourselves the Word of God, I guarantee our soul is getting fed with something else. It needs food. And we need to feed it the right things so that we can overcome temptation. So now a third way to resist temptation that I talked about is that we need to learn how to run. Now, what do I mean by that? Who do you think I'm thinking of in the Old Testament? Joseph, that's right, Joseph. And what did he do in the midst of temptation? He ran. He ran in the midst of temptation. He fled. You know, usually fleeing the enemy is considered being a coward. But not with temptation. No, not. The Lord tells us to flee temptation. Now, if the smell of cookies is too strong and you can't handle it, get out of the room, right? Get out of the room. Run away. Follow after mama, right? Do what we have to do. We have to do what we have to do. And for those of you who missed my cookie illustration, you can ask me later. The point is that we know our sin natures, right? We know what's in our sin nature, don't we? We know what tempts us. And, you know, we pray to the Lord, and lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil. But what about us? Let's be careful not to lead ourselves into temptation, right? If a certain location or a certain person continually leads you or me into sin, you know, what do we need to do? We need to stay away from that place and that person. So we need to flee temptation. Don't debate the devil. He's always going to win. Don't debate him. We need to flee him. When we flee him, we are resisting him. You know, it says in James chapter 4, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. You know, some of us get to be double-minded. We think we're in the Word, but then we're in the world too. We get to be double-minded. It says, lament and mourn and weep. Sometimes we need repentance, right? We need to confess our sins. It says, let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. We're going to talk about this a little bit later, but I want to tell you, no matter what state you are in, you can always look up. If you got breath in your body, you look up to the Lord Jesus. He's waiting there to forgive you and for you to walk in fellowship. Do you know what happens when we have a besetting sin that we can't seem to shake? Do you know that every time that we resist temptation, do you know at those times, that's when the Lord Jesus Christ is glorified? When we resist that temptation, Satan, do you think he likes that? No, he hates it. He hates to see the Lord Jesus Christ glorified. And I think the more that we resist him, the more he's going to flee from us. So that third way of resisting temptation is learning how to run away. And the fourth way of resisting temptation, that I talked about is to stop blaming others, including God, for your sin. We all like to blame others, don't we? Don't we? Like to blame others. We learned this from who? Well, from Adam and Eve, didn't we? Didn't we? They taught us this. Who did Adam blame? Remember what he said? He said, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree and I ate." So he blamed Eve. Adam blamed Eve and actually kind of blamed God too. And then Eve, what did she say when she was caught in sin? She said, "The serpent deceived me and I ate." Well, isn't that convenient? Isn't that the common expression? The devil made me do it. The devil made me do it. Well, let's get this into our heads. And excuse my bad English, but the devil don't make us do nothing. He really doesn't. He puts a temptation, but the devil has only the power to tempt. He does not control our will. He does not control our will. You know, God does not tempt us either. Some people think that God made me like this. God's tempting me. No. Oftentimes, people excuse sin by saying, "This is the way that God made me." But what does the scripture say to that? Let's turn to James. James chapter 1. James chapter 1, starting with verse 12. Okay, James chapter 1, verse 12. "Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, 'I am tempted by God,' for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death." So God does not tempt us, does he? God does not tempt us, and he did not make us like that. Get that out of our heads, that God made me this way. The reason we have a sin nature is that we inherited this sin nature from Adam. The sin nature is not God's problem. If we want to blame anyone, blame Adam for your sin nature. It says, "Through one man sin entered the world," it says in scriptures, "and death through sin. And thus death spread to all men because all have sinned." Yep, all except one, right? Who's that one that didn't sin? Well, Jesus Christ. He's the only man who was born into this world without sin. Jesus Christ is both fully God and fully human. And in his body, his perfect body, without sin, he was judged for the sin of the entire world. For all of Adam's children, which includes you and I. You know, Christ died for our sins in our place. He was buried and rose again to offer eternal life to whosoever believes in him. You see, one man brought a problem into this world, right? We all received our sin nature from our forefather Adam, every one of us. But Jesus Christ is the second Adam, the last Adam who came to solve the problem of sin and to give us life. If you are here and have never received forgiveness of your sins through Jesus Christ, go to him. Go to the Lord Jesus. Jesus said, "To the one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out." You know, Jesus Christ does not want anyone to be judged in the lake of fire after they die. Why? Well, he already paid the price of their salvation. It's really stupid for anyone to have to go to the lake of fire because he paid for the price of every sin that we've committed. That's why he came into the world to be punished and to die for our sins in his own body. And if you are here as a believer in Jesus Christ, you have already been delivered from the penalty of your sin. You have been delivered from eternal judgment. But what about your walk? What about your walk? Are you walking in him? Are we walking in him? Are you walking with the inheritance of the first Adam in view? Or are you walking in Christ with the second Adam in view? If you're walking in the old sin nature, you're walking with your inheritance from the first Adam. If you're walking in the new nature, you're walking in the inheritance from the second Adam, Jesus Christ. And this is the spiritual battle that we face every day. The spirit against the flesh and the flesh against the spirit. Galatians says, the flesh lusts against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another so that you do not do the things that you wish. Do we feel that pressure every day? Do we feel that pressure, the spirit against the flesh, the good that we want to do, we do not? Lord, deliver me from this. The Lord can deliver us. He has delivered us. We just need to claim it. We need to feed our spiritual life and nourish it with the Word of God. You know, we're either feeding our spirit or our flesh. And the one that gets the most attention and food is the one that's going to win during temptation. We need to quit blaming God and others for our sin. We need to recognize that we have two natures as believers. When we walk in the Spirit, it's only then that we will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. It says, walk by the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. And this leads us to our final way of resisting temptation that I'm going to talk about. The fifth way of resisting temptation that I want to talk to you about is don't stay down for the count. You know, if you don't want to get defeated in a wrestling or a boxing match, you know, what do you have to do before the count? You have to get up. You know, you have to get up before the count disqualifies you, right? Well, God has given us a time of grace, not only to come to know him through his son, Jesus Christ, but also to live for him through his son, Jesus Christ. You know, if you wake up in the morning, is everyone breathing here? Breathe in. Yep, you're alive. That means God still has a plan. He still has provisions for you. It's not too late. You still have that time of grace to walk for him. And he has prepared in advance for you to live the victorious life in Jesus Christ. We need to be believers who are quick to recover from our sin. We need to be quick to confess our sin to God. What does it say in Scripture? If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We need to be quick to do that. Don't allow the enemy to keep you down for the count. We do that sometimes. We wallow in it. We think that's our identity. That's who we are. And so we do it again. But we have to see ourselves in Christ. And when we refuse to confess our sin, you know, I found in my life that usually leads to more sin. You know, sin begets sin, which in turn begets what? Sin and death, yeah. It's a vicious cycle. It's a vicious cycle. And we need to always remember to confess our sins to our Heavenly Father. Hebrews tells us, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You see, God arms us with his word to guard us from falling into temptation. But what if we fail? We've all experienced failure, right? As believers, God has a wonderful provision for us stated in 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. It says, my little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. You see, don't ever think that grace is a license to sin. God doesn't want us to sin. That's not why he came to die for our sins, so that we can go sin. He says, my little children, I write to you these things so that you may not sin. And then he says, he gives us this provision of grace. He says, and if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. You see, the Father is satisfied with the work of the Son. And we need to claim that. What happens when we run away from God? Does that help? No. We're in Christ forever, whether we're his obedient children or his disobedient children. So we might as well run back to him. Run back to the loving arms of the Savior who's waiting. You know, he's just waiting for us to come back to him, to look to him. His forgiveness is there. I've experienced it. You've experienced it. Many of you have. Eyes look to him. Don't run from the Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ has really supplied us with everything we need. Everything we need for life and godliness. We say, oh, but I have this sin in my sin nature. What? No. He supplied everything that we need for life and godliness. Is it possible to live the Christian life and resist temptation? Do we believe that? Is it possible? Yes. With the Lord Jesus Christ and the provisions that he supplies, it most certainly is possible. We should never forget that we are more than conquerors through him who loved us, through Jesus Christ. We would do well to listen to the words found in James chapter 1. You know, I'm going to close with these words. He says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ has begun a good work in us the day he saved us, the day he gave us eternal life. And you know, he's about the work of completing that work in us, to conforming us to the image of his Son. You know, we have each day, each moment that he wants to work in us. Let's redeem the time. Let's look to his word to strengthen us. Don't ever get discouraged because of temptation. Now, temptation isn't the sin, but the Lord has given us the strength to resist that temptation. Let us press on to the upward call of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that we in Christ Jesus are more than conquerors through him. Father, help us to see ourselves the way you see us, in Christ, accepted in the Beloved. Father, help us not to see ourselves in terms of who we are in Adam, our sin nature. That's only going to bring us down. That's going to make us fall into more temptation and to give in. Father, we are royalty in Christ Jesus, and help us remember that during temptation. Help us to arm ourselves with your word that is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Lord, help us to memorize it and have it in our thoughts, taking every thought captive for the Lord Jesus Christ so that we can be obedient unto you. Lord, help us to learn how to run. Lord, sometimes we're in temptation and we feel there's no way out. Well, Lord, help us to run, to flee temptation, to look to you, run to your loving arms, and you're going to sustain us. Lord, help us to quit blaming you and others for our sin. Help us to take responsibility, Father, when we do fail, and to be quick to recover, to run to you for forgiveness, Lord, to be restored to fellowship and to walk in that newness of life, Lord. You have so much for us. to live for you, to be a witness to others. Father, only one life we have, and only what's done for you, Lord Jesus, will last. And Father, we just commit our next days, our moments, weeks, whatever you give us, Lord. We commit them to you, and we just ask that you would help us in the midst of temptation and trials to look to you. And we ask this in Jesus' name for his glory. Amen. Do you want to do a hymn? Okay. We'll have a closing hymn.
Tell you what hymn it is, but I left the notes up here, so I gotta find it. Number 526 in the blue hymnal, The Solid Rock. This is an appropriate song. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. You know, in our effort to have victory over temptation in our lives, man, where is the ground on which we stand? When we sin, we fall, and it's like quicksand, and there's no ground to even put a foot on. But Christ is the solid rock. I think of the passage that Nate read. Christ himself, even as we see demonstrated in Matthew chapter 4, the temptation that he went through, he became man like those of us here that were to become his brethren. He became like his brethren so that he could go through the temptation, so that he could be exposed to all that stuff, to make him the perfect high priest, so that he could experience it without actually falling into it. But in doing that, he's able to be the perfect high priest for us. And I appreciate what Dan said, man, and it's made all the difference for me in my life. Let's turn to the Lord. Let's let these times of failure drive us to the Lord and not away from him, because it's in the Lord that we find our hope, find our victory. And this song really just says that he is our solid rock. Let's look to him. Number 526.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When darkness veils his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor halts within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. His oath, his covenant, his blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found. Dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
Thank you. You guys are dismissed. God bless.